Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. Go to ShadyRays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off two pairs of polarized sunglasses.
Hi, yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's going to be a good episode. I'm butchering things already. Episode 330 goes out to Ape, as Dan calls him, one of our friends in the Discord who got nailed with the crazy weather in Florida and whose car basically floated away. So hopefully you're all right, and maybe we can get some winning picks in here for you to help you. If insurance doesn't want to help you, maybe we can help you with our winning picks here. Because this is the Bellator episode, our favorite episodes. I think Gumby, my co-host, may be coming around to Bellator. We'll have to wait and see. Because he picked to do it again this week. I'm not the Bellator stan of the podcast. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox. Thanks for coming. As I said, after a disastrous UFC event for us, we're back with Bellator's got back-to-back events coming up this weekend from Honolulu, Hawaii. The one thing they perhaps do better than UFC is they have Hawaii locked down. They got, like I said, back-to-back cards Friday, Saturday. We're going to give you a selection of picks from each card to hopefully make some moolah back this weekend. Let's bring in the Bellator whisperer himself, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I don't know if we did get John Salter last week. I can keep that moniker. We got John Salter and Adam Piccolotti last week and Daniel James, all underdogs last week. So, that was 2 weeks ago, huh? But last week, we did go 4-1 with our PFL 3 picks.
There you go.
Yeah, 4-1 on those. If you put $100 on every fight, you'd have been up 119.79. And that puts our regional record on the year, or my regional record. I guess you can tag along on it if you want.
Sure,
you usually say things to me while we're doing this. but that puts me at 60-30 with one draw on the year, up about $1,400 if you put $100 on each one, which of course is not, don't do that. Don't put $100 on each one. But even if you did in this case, you'd be just fine.
Anything you want to say about PFL while I continue to jot down odds for this Bellator event?
Oh, I didn't even know the odds were out. That's fantastic. I'm going to learn
for at least for one of them they have, yes.
Oh, just one of them?
Yeah, just for the second one I found so far, but event. But I watch PFL. I'm trying to remember.
Not much to say. Olivia Alba Mercier wrestles really nicely.
That was the only
pick I got wrong. I was pumped about my underdog pick in Rosh Mangio. That dude looked like a beast.
Yeah, he sure did.
He shut out Alex Martinez. No, not too much outside of that.
Good. Thanks. Thanks for killing time for me.
I hope that gave you no time to do what you needed to.
Yeah, that's fine. I only see Bellator 295 odds up right now, so you're gonna have to
guess them for one fight.
Yeah. No, we're doing two fights there.
Oh, you already got
one prepared for already.
Oh, that's
before
right.
We realized, hey.
Anyway, goodness.
Gumby knows. Oh, actually, I do have odds. Gumby knows so much about Bellator. He didn't even realize it was a back-to-back event. You're just like, fine, we'll do Bellator. Here's some fights on this crap card. And then you're like, no, there's another card you can choose from too, my friend. So, all right, I am getting the odds done. I'm going to tell you about our friends at, as I move away from the mic, let's move in here. I'm going to tell you about our friends at Shady Rays because I don't want you to miss out on their amazing deals and products. Shady Rays They invite you to kick off the new year, kick off the spring, kick off the summer with new gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Last than all, Shady Rays offers the most sustained protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. With Shady Rays, you can look good and feel good. To date, they have donated over 20 million meals to feed hunger with Feeding America. Fight hunger, excuse me, with Feeding America. Plus, they're feeding hunger. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Here's what you need to do. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the new year. Go to ShadyRays.com. Use promo code SGPN for 50% off. That's half price off of two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's ShadyRays.com, code SGPN. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. All right. Bellator, as I said, back-to-back events. We're going to start with Bellator 294 going down in Honolulu, Hawaii, Friday night. We got a couple fights on the main card we're going to tell you. Main card is on Showtime. Co-main event, Timothy Johnson versus Syed Soma. Timothy Johnson is 15-9, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted once. 3-5 in Bellator. He's lost 3 straight fights, the last 2 via knockout or TKO. He's not fought since April 2022. He's not won since October 2020. He's 4-3 in the UFC. He was 4-3 in the UFC, was a regional champion, 2010 pro MMA debut. Based on their last weigh-ins, he was 17 pounds heavier than Soma, 3 inches taller, 2 inches of reach. I expect that to remain the same, plus 235. Soma, 8-4, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, 2-3 in Bellator. He's lost 2 straight and won 2 of his last 5. So both men, blazing hot here. Regional champion, 7 years younger than Johnson, minus 275.
I tipped my hand a little bit at the beginning of this. I told you I didn't know any of the odds. I assumed Tim Johnson was going to be a favorite here.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. Tim Johnson himself has not had a sterling record recently. But Tim Johnson has fought 3 guys who have fought for the title very recently. Before that, he beat Chet Congo and Matt Mitrione, and he knocked out Terrell Fortune. He's still got hands, right? And he's got, like, a little bit of wrestling, which is, I mean, probably how he beat Mitrione, right? But you're right. Like, he got beat by Vessel, who's not promised a title shot next, but, like, it's kind of Fedor, who fought for a title, Moldovsky, who was the champion for a split second. And then his loss before that was Minnikoff, who used to be champ. Like, he's out there getting knocked out by dudes who are champions, and it's not like Syed Soma is, like, this, like, vicious knockout artist, right? Like, he won a fight by broken finger recently, and then he knocked out Ronnie Marks, who used to fight at middleweight, so, like, a little dude. And apart from that, he's been giving up bad positions to guys like Gokhan Sarakam, who's not particularly good, and positions to Davian Franklin. I think Tim Johnson can out-wrestle him, because, like, you know, he throws kind of wild, and I think once he's, like, on his back, I think he, you know, he gets up fairly well, but, like, he gives up too much time in those positions, or he gets held against the cage too much, or, you know, Terrell Ford, like, the style of guy who's beating Syed Soma, I think fits Tim Johnson here. So, yeah, give me Tim Johnson on the dog money here. I don't like saying bet Tim Johnson in the year of our Lord 2023, but at the same time, like, if he's plus 235 against the guy who's out there not really knocking people out, yeah, I'll take that.
He doesn't like to say it, but he is saying it regardless. All right. The main event is for the Women's Flyweight Championship. The title is always defended in Hawaii, it seems. Liz Carmouche versus Deanna Bennett. 5 5-minute rounds, 125 pounds. Bennett, vitamin D or the Argentine assassin. You can call her either. She's 13-7-1, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted twice. 3-1 in Bellator. She's won 3 straight fights. She also lost 3 before that. She's not lost since September 2020. She's missed weight a couple times in the past, so that's something to keep in mind here. 5-5 in Invicta. 0-0-1 in the UFC. 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight down at strawweight and up at bantamweight. 2012 pro MMA debut, plus 250. The champion, Gurrilla, Liz Carmouche, 18-7, 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's been submitted twice. 5-0 in Bellator, the champion of the world, and she's already successfully defended it once. She's won 5 straight fights in 7 of 8. All last 3 fights were via finish. She's not lost since August of 2019. She went 5-5 in the UFC. Used to fight up at bantamweight, 2-0 in Invicta, 2-2 in Strikeforce. Strikeforce popped his head out again. 2010 pro MMA debut, and she did beat Bennett via submission in 2020. She's 2 inches taller than Bennett, and she's at minus 300.
Yeah, Liz Carmouche, like by a mile. She's Bennett.
She's crazy that she's in this position now.
Yeah, but she's Bennett's last loss, A. And B, since then, we're talking about, you know, like, let's talk about how their paths have diverged since they fought, right? Liz Carmouche, since beating her, has gone out and fought Vanessa Porto, Kana Watanabe, and Juliana Velazquez twice, and she's got 3 finishes in those fights. Deanna Bennett, meanwhile, is, like, squeaking out decisions against Justine Kish and doing so in such a fashion that they need a rematch with Justine Kish. So, like, we've got one person out there fighting the tippity top of the division and look, making it look easy after already beating her. And somehow it's still only negative 300. I actually think that price is really well suited for parlays if you like Gorilla here.
Oh, throw her in a parlay. All right, that's all we're giving you on the first night. That's how much. Gumby was not even going to do the co-main event, but I had already had it prepared. So why not, right? So I throw one extra one
in there too. You guys don't have to bet it. You know, it doesn't have to count in my official spreadsheet. But
unless it wins.
And you got all the lines there too, huh?
Yeah.
I love Kilis Moda against Kenneth Cross. A lot of people are high on Kenneth Cross. I bet you it's gonna come in. I'll say Moda's probably not gonna be a much bigger of than like a negative 150 favorite. You got the number there?
Minus 129.
There you go. Yeah. Give me Kilis Moda's there, negative 129. That's a good number for him. It doesn't count unless
it wins, right?
That one doesn't count unless it wins. But he's a really great grappler, and Cross is, I think, gonna have issues with it.
All right, so this is Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern start, prelims, YouTube. Main card on Showtime, or if you're in Canada, on YouTube as well. All right. Second night, much better than the first, right?
I think so. Yeah.
But it is Bellator, so he's not going to give a ringing endorsement to it, but definitely a lot more named fighters on it. We're going to start off with flyweights, and it is Ray Borg versus Kyuji Horiguchi, 3 5-minute rounds, 125 pounds. Ray Borg is still the Taz, how about it's tax day for you guys, right? That must
no,
be
no, it's
why
the Taz Mexican.
I know it is. I know, but that must be why it's on my mind. You guys have tax day a couple weeks before we do. So the Taz Mexican Devil is 16-5. That would be Borg. 1 knockout, 6 submissions. He's been submitted one time, so he's durable. We'll give him that. This is his Bellator debut. He's won 3 straight fights in 5 of 6. He's not fought since March of 2022. He's not lost since May of 2020. He went 7-5 in the UFC. He missed weight officially 4 times in the UFC. That's in flyweight and at bantamweight. That was his undoing for sure. Was a regional champion. 2012 pro MMA debut. 3 years younger than Horiguchi, plus 205. So I would suggest it. If you're thinking about getting in on Borg or even getting in on this fight, you may want to wait till you see the weigh-ins and how the men look. Horiguchi is the Typhoon. That's his new nickname. He's 31-5, 15 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 2-2 in Bellator, and he is the former champion. That was bantamweight, though, right? They didn't have flyweight at the time. So
I still don't think they have a flyweight champ, if I'm not correct.
No, they don't. They don't really have. Maybe they're building a division.
I think this might be the beginning of it, yeah.
Cool. I'm all for it. Horiguchi's 2-0. Over his last 2, obviously, and 3, he's won 3 of his last 5. He was the Ryzen and the Shooto champions over in his native Japan. 7-1 in the UFC, used to fight at bantamweight. 2010 pro MMA debut, also was a pro kickboxer. He's an inch taller, 3 inches to reach on Borg, minus 240.
Yeah, this is Horiguchi all day for me. He might be the right one to stick in a parlay with Liz Carmouche. You know, you're probably gonna get almost even odds there if you put those two together. So
I like it.
Yeah, and I'll just say this, like, Ray Borg has been resurgent lately. You know, the win over Cody Gibson particularly ranked really true to, like, be like, oh, hey, look, this dude's back here. But, you know, a split decision against Ricky Bandejas, you know, he kind of struggled a little bit in that fight in different avenues, especially the striking. And Kyoji Horiguchi just, like, isn't going to let Ray Borg's wrestling get going. That's the thing about Horiguchi, right? Like, it doesn't matter how good of a wrestler you are. He's really good at keeping the distance and forcing you to fight this on the feet. And Ray Borg really needs to get some of his, at least some of his wrestling going to win a fight like this. And I just don't think he'll get enough going against Horiguchi.
I agree with Horiguchi. He's definitely the pick. I also agree that Underdog Fantasy is the place to go. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is a great place to get down on fantasy and player props all year long. Underdog Fantasy has your favorite NBA, NHL, and MLB daily games. Plus, they're already doing best ball drafts for the 2023 NFL season. Never truly for football. Head over to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, where are we moving to next? We go from flyweights to... up a couple weight classes. Featherweights. Aaron Pico versus James Gonzalez. 3 5-minute rounds, 145 pounds. Gonzalez, the alley cat, 10-5, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. Never been finished in a fight, so he is durable. 1-0 in Bellator. He's won 2 straight fights and 4 of his last 5. He did lose his last fight via TKO. That was on the PFL. No, sorry, he won his last fight via TKO. That was on the PFL Contender Series, and that was a little over a month ago, early March. He's stepping in here on very, very short notice against Aaron Pico. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Get t-shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. He's an inch taller than Pico, plus 525. Aaron Pico, 10-4, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. So he's been finished in all of his losses. 10-4 in Bellator. All of his fights have been Bellator. He's won 6 of his last 7. He did lose his last fight, but that was via injury. Used to fight at lightweight, was a wrestling champion, like world champion, boxing champion, pancreation champion, 6 years younger than Gonzalez, 2 inches of reach, minus 700.
Yeah, obviously you're taking Aaron Pico's here. I don't get me wrong, I think Gonzalez is all right, but being a late replacement guy, and here's the thing too, James Gonzalez, for those of you who don't know or maybe not familiar with him, first of all, he's a Cerro Longo guy, so that might give you like some sudden burst of like, oh, hey, maybe. And then you just look at the guys he's lost to, and it's like, dudes who could wrestle him and dudes who did wrestle him. He lost to Mike Trezano twice. He lost to Bill Algeo, Levi Moles. And his last loss was a split to Phil Caracappa, who you might remember. Was he on Contender Series or did he just get invited and then he got injured? I can't remember. I think he was on Contender Series, if I'm not mistaken, and lost. But again, like a catch wrestling guy, a guy who likes to put it on the mat, and like, he's basically fighting a much better version of that in Aaron Pico. And Aaron Pico's hands have come around, too. So it's not even like he's just a catch wrestling guy. So, we're not picking against Pico. We're not dumb.
No, this is the kind of fight they were starting him off in his career with, fights like this. But
yeah,
this one's short notice, which
but they they were the one he was going to fight before Otto Rodriguez is a little bit of a step up. Maybe still kind of like the early career stuff, but, it's still a legitimate fight.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on to the co-main event. What a surprise. Elimele McFarlane is on this fight card. The reason they go to Hawaii. Elimele. That's how you say it. Kind of. Elimele McFarlane versus Kana Watanabe. 3 5-minute rounds at the flyweight division. Watanabe, Too Macho Yawara-chan is her nickname. Did you know
okay.
that?
Okay. I did not know that.
Yawara-chan is some like cartoon or anime or something. I looked it up. So sure. She's too macho. You are a chance. She's also soft beast. either
soft,
or.
Soft beast?
Soft beast, correct.
Soft beast.
Yes. She's okay. 11-1-1. That's not so soft. Three knockouts, four submissions. She's been knocked out once. 3-1 in Bellator. Won her last fight via submission. She's a judo champion. 2 inches taller than McFarlane, -110. Yes, we got to pick her. A picker, a pick'em. The Eliminator, McFarlane. Somehow, for some reason, I'm having difficulty here. She's 12-2, two knockouts, six submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 11-2 in Bellator. She was the former champion at this weight class, flyweight. She has four successful title defenses of it. She's only won one of her last three. However, she did win her last fight. She's missed weight in the past. She's a combat jiu-jitsu champion, 2 years younger than Watanabe, -110.
I'm going to go Watanabe here. I think, odds completely new to me because I did not see them posted when we went to go record.
It's kind of fun. I like that.
Yeah, this is, here's the thing about Aleah Malala McFarlane. I had her pegged as like, oh, this is it. This is, you know, Bellator has an answer of who the face of their women's divisions is, and it's Aleah Malala McFarlane. She's super marketable. She's super personable. It's like a reason to keep going back to Hawaii. And then she's just like, her grappling has really disappointed me. The Juliana Velasquez fight really bummed me out. She lost to Justine Kitsch, and she largely lost to Justine Kitsch by just like not being able to control where the fight took place. And with Justine Kitsch, that's a lot of how Justine Kitsch has lost in her career. If you go back to it, right? Like Justine Kitsch beat Ashley Yoder in a UFC fight, but like barely, and like Yoder largely picked where that fight went. And then she lost to people like Felice Herod against Sabina Mazo by like them dominating her. So like she's had a lot of trouble controlling position here as McFarlane. And I think when you fight a woman like Kana Watanabe, like she just, first of all, she's very strong. And second of all, the judo does play because it's like not even just like judo, you know, like sometimes you have people who cross over from judo and you're like, oh yeah, you know, you can kind of tell they've got some like, good body locks, or, you know, you're like, she positions herself well or has a low center of gravity. She like trips really well. Like she's got excellent like judo style trips that she works into her MMA game, and she doesn't do it in super obvious ways or like big high effort ways. I think she's going to have Aleah Malala McFarlane on the ground most of this fight. And I think she's going to control it and probably win it. So, and look, hey, her only loss in her career is the champ Liz Carmouche. So I'm going to go with Watanabe.
And then probably a title shot for her, you would think.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody more deserving here in Bellator's flyweight division. But granted, I'm also not going to claim that I am the expert on the depth of Bellator's flyweight division.
No division has depth in Bellator. Just know that. All right. So Dan is predicting the party pooper in the co-main event. Main event, Rofian Stotts. It'd be more fun if he was Brazilian, wouldn't it? Rofian Stotts would be funner versus Patchy Mix. Be funner if, isn't Patchy like a Irish, a short form for Patrick?
I don't think so. Usually they go Packy. Packy is a,
oh, okay,
like the pitcher on the LA Angels is Packy Naughton.
Oh, Naughton, listen to you, Mr. Irish. All right, this is our main event, Stotts versus Mix. This is not just main event, it's the tournament final, bantamweight tournament final. It's also for the interim bantamweight championship. Is Sergio Pettis ever coming back, Dan?
Maybe. Yeah, I probably.
Yes, maybe.
I'm going to say probably.
So Stotts is the current interim champion. He's fighting Patchy Mix. They're both not just fighting for the interim championship, but for the Bellator Grand Prix final. Don't they get like a bunch of money or something too?
$1 million.
$1 million. There you go. All right. Let's tell you about No Love, Patchy Mix. War ready, Patchy Mix. 17-1, one knockout, 12 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 6-1 in Bellator. He's won four straight fights. Three of those four wins have come via submission. He's not lost since September 2020. He has missed weight in the past. He was a regional champion as well in the past. He's 5 years younger than Stotts, 4 inches taller, +180. Supa Stotts, SUPA. So I guess that's what he does in his spare time. He's a super for apartment building. Is that right?
Sure. Yeah.
Because maybe if he can retire if he wins the $1 million. 19-1, four knockouts, four submissions. been knocked out once. That's one time he's been, one time he's lost 7-0 in Bellator. He is the interim champion. He's already defended the interim championship once. He's won 11 straight fights. He's not lost since June of 2017. So both men are on nice little rolls here, especially Stotts. Was a regional champion, a wrestling champion as well in college. He's an inch, has an inch of reach on mix, minus 210.
So what did you say the number I was getting on Patchy Mix is?
That's where plus 180.
Ooh, yeah, that's where I'm going here. I'm going Patchy Mix. So this is a really hard one to call, right? Because we just watched Ralphion Stotts look so damn good against Danny Sabatello. But I think here's the difference for me and why I like Mix in this fight more than I like Danny Sabatello. Because I don't know if you remember when we broke down that fight, I was like, Danny Sabatello doesn't have a damn chance. And apart from one judge who was watching a different fight than everybody else, he didn't. Here's why I think that this fight goes a little bit differently is I think that Patchy Mix, in addition to being a good wrestler, is also going to be way longer than Stotts, as you kind of mentioned, right? Like he's got some reach advantage.
No, he's 4 inches taller, but Stotts has an inch of reach. So.
Okay. So he's got a lot of size on him, regardless. I think that's going to be tricky. And I think also the other thing that's going to be tricky is when he went to go take Danny Sabatello down, Danny Sabatello's got good submissions if he's on top. Danny Sabatello has got good control if he's on top. Danny Sabatello is a good grappler if he's on top. Patchy Mix is different in the way that when Patchy Mix is being shot on, that's maybe when he's most dangerous, right? Patchy Mix can hit you with a guillotine on the way in. He had that really, really, really bizarre, like guillotine that got the finish and won like, you know, submission of the century that time. Like he's got a ton of fun finishes. And I think that like, you know, he's even got a cellulite stretch in there where, you know, it's the, I think Kenny Robertson used to call it the kickstand. Like he's got tons of different ways that he can beat you and he doesn't have to be in the good position. So I think the fact that he's going to constantly be threatening Stotts that way, he's going to make it so that his wrestling is not super comfy. And I think the size is going to play a factor here and that he is like the much bigger guy. I think Mix is just going to have more things for Stotts. Also, before we completely put a bow on this one, do you know what Ralphion Stotts' lone loss is in his pro career?
He got knocked out by one person. Who was that?
Mirab Dvalishvili. 15 seconds into the fight, Mirab Dvalishvili hit him with a spinning back fist.
Wow. There you
go. Yeah, that's not a prediction anybody would make in 2023.
No. I like the dramatic pause you had while you were breaking down that fight. Very good. Good job. Let's recap all of your picks here, shall we? The first night of this Bellator extravaganza, he has Liz Carmouche successfully defending her belt, and he's got Timothy Johnson, a very big underdog in the co-main event, winning. And then in the next night, he's got Patchy Mix becoming new interim champion of the world and the Bellator tournament winner. So back to being the superintendent at the apartment for Stotts. He's got Watanabe in the co-main event. He's got Pico as a big favorite and Horiguchi as a fairly big favorite. Sound good?
That sounds good to me.
Let's get out of here. We got UFC to break down for you in a couple of days. UFC is going again this weekend as per usual. So we got our prelims Wednesday and our main card and all our fun bets on Thursday for you. Until then, get in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Hit us up on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby will be running that account if you contact it. He's also at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. Read my Substack and enter my Pick'em UFC Pick'em contest for free, moneymma.substack.com. Listen to Gumby's other podcast, Top Turtle MMA. Do you know who's on this week, or do you want to leave it a surprise at this point?
Yeah, one of them is Ricky Glenn, and I also talked to Brady Heestand.
All right, so make sure you listen to that, and all our stuff can be read and listened and consumed over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gumby, take us out of here.
All right, I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's the Eliminator, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Wednesday.